Thank you, Ken. So let me first start by saying thank you for being with us tonight. We truly appreciate your commitment and your faithfulness to continue to stand in the gap for the nation and to continue to come and press in and receive the word of the Lord. Over the next several weeks, we will continue having teaching on Thursday nights. Mom will be teaching her her messages on union, and it's Growing in Christ. That'll be the title that you'll see coming out. So that'll be on Thursdays. She'll pick that back up next Thursday. And then on Fridays, beginning next week, I will be sharing about prophetic advancement. And this is what I'll be talking about tonight. And then, again, we'll pick it back up next week. So let me get us started in a word of prayer, and then we'll proceed from there. Father God, I thank you. I thank you for the privilege that we have to come before you. I thank you for this. What an honor it is to join with my brothers and sisters, to seek your face, to hear the word of the Lord, and to press in on behalf of this nation. This nation, Lord God, that you set in place to be a refuge nation. I thank you, Father God, for the privilege we have. I pray that you would settle things around us as we hear the word and as we pray tonight. I pray, Lord God, that your words would come forth and your will would be done during our time together, and it would be released out upon the nation. I thank you, Lord. In your precious name, amen. So I was speaking with Mom this weekend, and we were talking about her messages on union and, you know, and my teaching. And as we began to share with one another, I was telling her what an experience, a couple of experiences that I had over the last probably month, maybe a little bit more, maybe 5 or 6 weeks. And when I was done, she felt like we needed to begin to release these things over the nation and begin to release the word of the Lord over the nation. This is a prophetic advancement that we are going to be releasing over the nation. It's critical for those that want to go into union and for those that are striving for the deeper things of God to come and be a part of those messages. It's also critical that we hear and release the word of the Lord over the nation, because this is God's nation, his nation, that he ordained to be a refuge nation. He has covenanted with the people that came to this nation that this nation would be a nation of light unto all the earth. God knew before the beginning of time where we would be today. And he knew what was going to be set in motion, and he knew what was going to be necessary for his church to grow and be strengthened in preparation for what's to come. He knew that this nation would need to be a nation of refuge, true refuge, not only a place where people can come into a place of safety, but also because the word of the Lord would go forth from this nation, and it needed to go forth unrestricted from this nation, because we release the word of the Lord and the word of God and missionaries more than any other nation in the world. America releases more missionaries, more Bibles than any other nation in the world. God knew the path he set before this country. And the enemy has been trying to thwart that path for decades. In fact, he's been trying a little bit longer than that, but we're going to focus on the last 50 or 60 years. And that's what I want to talk to you about tonight. I want to share some things with you historically that have taken place that are trying to thwart the plan that God has for this nation. And I want to share with you what God is saying about this nation and his plans and purposes for our nation. Now, when I was talking to Mom, I shared with her a couple of things that I do want to share with you. I've had these two experiences where I was thrust forward in time. And I was one of those. I was driving home from my daughter's, and it was in the evening, and I had come to this one area, and I was close to my home, but I was going from west headed east. And as I was driving, I felt my vehicle be thrust forward. And you think, did you maybe doze off? Did you maybe, a little bit, and you just kind of hit the gas pedal? Absolutely not. My vehicle thrust forward. And it was a blink of the eye, and my vehicle was thrust forward almost two house lengths. And I was startled, needless to say. I felt it take place through my body. Through and through, I felt this experience take place. I stopped. I was so startled by this. I stopped at the very first stop I could, and that was a gas station. And I took a picture of the sky because I just felt, I was so startled by what just took place. I took a picture of the sky to mark this because it was that critical. And that, I knew it was significant. And that's why the Lord had allowed this to take place. So I took a picture of the sky. And when I got home, I took another picture of the sky. Now, I live just a couple minutes from the gas station the time I took the picture. And I'm telling you, the sun had nearly set. And it was early for the sun to set. Time shifted. Couple weeks ago, I marked it down in my journal, and I had the picture and the timestamp on my phone. But a couple weeks ago, and I shared this on the line a couple weeks ago, but I had laid down, and I was just laying there, and I was meditating on just the Lord, and I was just praying in the Spirit. And as I laid there, I felt myself begin to move forward, and I had this experience where I was on what, in the airports, I think they're called people movers, but they're the walking escalator things, that just move you forward. So you walk on it, you feel like you're moving really fast, because you are, just not at your own, your own volition. But, and so I was on one of those. Now, my grandkids were running around me, but it was moving so quickly that my hair was blowing behind me. That's how fast I was moving before me. I wasn't asleep. I was still aware of things in my house. My daughter had not yet gone to bed, and so I was still aware of her movement. And it lasted for about an hour. And I'm not even a person that normally times these things. I remember so vividly what was taking place. And I just kind of made this mental note, and I asked the Lord to begin to speak to me. And in the next morning, I was in prayer, and I get up usually very, very early to spend time with the Lord. And while I was there in prayer, the Lord said, I'm about to thrust this nation forward. I'm about to thrust the timeline forward. That there was a prophetic timeline that God was going to catch us up, and we needed to prepare. that the things that the enemy had set in motion to slow us down, he was not going to succeed on. God was going to thrust us forward and catch us up. And that was a very great relief to me. I'm going to be honest with you, because the events that have taken place, even though I'm confident that the election was stolen, I'm confident that God will, that this illegitimate president, ruler that we see at the Coliseum in D.C. right now will be removed, and that President Trump, the legitimate president of the United States, will be restored front and center, you know, because the mantle, the anointing for presidency still rests on him. And he will be restored. Even though I'm confident in that, I have been concerned. I've been concerned about the people. I've been concerned about the church. I've been concerned about our youth. I've been concerned about a lot of things. And so to hear him say he's about to move us forward, thrust us forward with a pace that was so great that, I mean, my hair was blowing straight back. And my truck, you know, thrust forward, brought me great peace. And so what we're going to be doing is, in this time between, especially right now, as I was sharing this even with my mom, and I was sharing this with Karen, that this time between Passover and Pentecost, this is a significant time in history, in the history of our people, the history when God brought the Israelites out of the bondage of Egypt. This, the timeline that the enemy had set for them, and the timeline and the place that God had prepared for them, was there was this mighty transformation where they were advanced forward significantly, as we know. Now, I've shared about this, and the Lord told me that just as, the Red Sea was something that was unprecedented, what we're going to see in our country, it will be unprecedented. It will be unprecedented what we see take place in our country. Mark my words on that. The Lord has been telling me this now for months. What takes place to restore and set things right in our nation will be unprecedented in our history. Why is that so important? Well, you know, the Red Sea was pretty unprecedented. The Red Sea, you know, the parting of the Red Sea was not something that had taken place ever before. And when they... Well, let's go to that. Let's go to that scripture. If you can turn with me, and I'm going to share a few things, and, you know, I will need to pick this up again next week, so it'll be on Friday, but let me share a few things with you. Exodus chapter 12, verse 1. And the Lord spake unto Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt, saying, this month shall be unto you the beginning of months. It shall be the first month of the year to you. Now, I'm stopping right there, because we all know the story. We know what took place. We had already experienced the plagues. 9 of the judgments on Egypt had already taken place. And these are all God dealing with the idols of the Egyptian idols. But when this took place, when Passover was about to take place, this was a significant time, because God was paving a way, and this was going to be a marker in time for the Israelites. And it was a significant marker in time. In fact, it was such a significant marker in time that God said, this is the beginning of time for you. I am resetting and reordering your timeline. You're going to come off of the clock of the Egyptians. In fact, you're going to come off the clock of the whole world. And I'm going to start life for you, your timeline. I'm going to start it fresh and new. This is the beginning of days for you. And that's what the Lord was saying. The beginning of days, a beginning of Israel's history under the government of God. They had been under the government of Egypt, the government of slavery, the bondage of slavery. And the purpose of this period of time is to bring them out from under the bondage of slavery, under the captivity of their mind to man, and bring them into subjection to God. And this is a very important thing, and it's a very important thing for us to embrace, because what they've been trying to do in our country for the last many, many decades is to bring us under the subjection to man. And God is trying to bring us out of the subjection to man and into and under the government of God. And so to see where we are right now in history and to see that God is saying, I am going to thrust you forward into my place in you. This is a new day, a new way, a new season in time for you. It's critical for us. And we've got to hold on to the promises that God is giving us for this hour. Over the last ...70 plus years. I'm going to share a few things that's been taking place in our nation to strip our nation from the plans and purposes that God had set in motion for our nation. In 1955, the Johnson Amendment was initiated, meant to silence the church. Then in 1962... In 1963, we saw that prayer and Bible was taken out of schools. Now, for 172 years, it was legal and constitutionally protected to teach the Word of God in the American schools. But two lawsuits stripped us of this right to teach our children in our schools. Then in 1973, Roe versus Wade. In 1975, 2 years after, 2 years after Roe versus Wade, the bloodletting that was unleashed on our nation birthed, if you believe it or not, the first seeker-friendly church in our country. And the seeker-friendly church swept across this nation. The seeker-friendly churches teach a watered-down gospel. It does not include the Holy Spirit at all. The worship is carnal in many of these places, and the Word of God is rarely preached. It's typically an encouragement or a pep talk that we see taking place in those churches. In 1981, evolution won the, there was a lawsuit that was done in 1981 that would allow them to teach evolution in our schools without the balance for creation. So what this did was it took creation, the teaching of creation out of our schools altogether as a in the science class, in English, in any of those categories, the teaching of creationism as a possibility for how we came here, why we're here, was stripped from our schools. And then here we have nearly a generation later, this year, April 29th, there's a petition to bind the tongue of the prophets that's circulating. And they're asking all prophets to sign this petition to limit and restrict what they'll speak to the body of Christ. So this is what's been taking place over the course of, what, 70 years? This is their goal, is to water down the church, strip the voice of God from the church. We saw intercession leave the church a long time ago. And so we have this generation of people that have been raised up, our youth, underneath this. Now, I was talking to a friend yesterday, and they were very concerned about, a relative of theirs. And they were, a spirit-filled Christian who has gone through the public school system and been brainwashed, believing the lie of the media, believing the lie of the media and the infiltration of what they've done in our educational system through the media to subvert our youth and take over our country. You know, that's all they need. And it can be complete. They work through the generations. Now, why am I saying this to you right now? Because God is saying right now, I'm about to turn this around. I'm about to show myself real. Just like when the Red Sea was parted, just like when my people went through the Red Sea, and that was such a mighty hand of God as the Red Sea parted and the people walked along on that dry land and the Red Sea came down upon the Egyptians. Word spread around the world that the God of the Israelites would fight for them. The God of the Israelites will stand for them. In the process from Passover to Pentecost, the process of them crossing over that Red Sea until they got to Mount Sinai was a critical time in their history. When they get to Mount Sinai, this is when the law is released. And, Moses prepared the people. He told them that God was coming. He was going to be going up the mountain. And they were wanting to see the God who set them free and had delivered them from the hand of the Egyptians. But see, the Israelites were still bound in the mindset of those that were in captivity for a couple centuries. They were still bound in their mind to that. And so by time they get to the base of the mountain, now they have this freedom. Now they have this release. Let us see God. Moses tells them, prepare yourself, cleanse yourself, because he's about to show himself to you. And we know this, and I shared about this, it was the beginning of last year, I did a message on this, Into the Storm. And this is when Moses himself, here comes the presence of God, and it begins to descend on the mount of Mount Sinai. It begins to descend on the mount. And there is thunder, and there is lightning, and the wind is just blowing and blowing and blowing, and the people are fearful. And Moses says, this is what you asked for. And Moses calms the people, and what does he do? The Bible says that he turned, and he went into the storm, because that's where you find God. God, the mighty power, the same God that parted the sea for them, the same God that immersed the Egyptians to the bottom of the Red Sea, the same God that set them free from the captivity of the Egyptians, is about to reveal himself to them, and he's about to release his law on Mount Sinai, and that's the time of Pentecost. But here we have, during this period of time, and I'm not going to go into everything that the Israelites did, because I think we all know the story, but what I want to do is talk to you about where we are right now. See, the Israelites in that time, they had been bound in that time. And we know that they have another generation before they get to see the promised land, where God has to work out of them the bondages that they had been in Egypt, and teach them to trust God. Here we are in this country right now where God is trying to teach us to trust God. God is trying to reverse the things that the enemy has done. We had 4 years of President Trump trying to unwind these decades of Supreme Court decisions that stripped us of God from our nation. He overrode the Johnson Amendment, which was to release the tongue of the pastors. He said that you can pray in school and sign an executive order for this. He said that Bible should be allowed back in school. He signed an executive order for this. He said that we couldn't have taxpayer-funded abortions. He signed an executive order for this. Here he is trying to reverse the damage that had been done on our nation for decades in just 4 years. Why do you think the enemy was so determined to remove him? When the Reformation took place, Martin Luther Reformation took place, and it began to flow across Europe, a group of witches lined up and did ritual sacrifices all along the border so that that Reformation would not cross that border. And they succeeded. Why? Because the church did not know or understand the power and the authority that they can walk in Christ. If the church could come to a place where she really understood the authority that we walk in, why do you think they're trying to water down our gospel? Why do you think that they've got seeker-friendly churches? Why do we think this is taking place across the earth? Because the enemy knows if the church gets her voice back, if the church will open up her ears to the prophetic voice, which is why they're trying to silence the prophetic voice, if the church will come and press her ear against the heart of God and hear what he is having to say and pray through intercession to break the bondages that the enemy puts upon this nation, that this nation will flow in the power and the authority of God like never seen on this earth before. The enemy will not even, there won't even be a person who wants to have an abortion on this nation, on the soil of this nation. Why? Because righteousness would so reign in this nation if the church would step in to the fullness and the power and the authority of God that he has created us to walk in this hour. Not just this hour. Consider the book of Acts. Consider the book of Acts. And I encourage you to go to the book of Acts and read it over the course of the next week. Read it and ask God to open up your hearts and consider for a moment every time that there were mighty miracles that took place, every time the gospel was preached. What does Acts 2 say? They were cut to the heart. They were cut to the heart by the words that Peter spoke. Why? Because the word of God is a double-edged sword, and it will cut through the deception. It will cut through the flesh, cut through the carnality of who we are, and get straight to the heart, which is where God should reside. And when the word of God pricks our hearts, it opens us up to the truth of the deception that we've been under. So when they water down the gospel and they don't speak the truth of the word of God, when you come here, you hear the word of God, because we know we care more about your soul and where you're going to end up. We care more about the youth and about every generation that is in this nation. We care more about that than we do about offending someone. If someone has been offended, because we spoke scripture over them, then we pray that God will take that scripture, cut through the carnality of who they are, and let it penetrate their heart and get them saved. That's the goal. That's the commission of God upon a person. That's the commission of God upon a minister, which is why they have watered down the church. They have silenced the intercessors, and now they're trying to silence the prophets. This is what's taking place. But God, the beauty of where we are right now. And I know I'm going to need to go because we need to pray, but let me share something with you, and then we'll go. And then next time, I'm going to talk to you about the next generation that God was raising up in Israel, because that next generation is the Joshua generation. Oh, it's powerful. On May 9th, which was Mother's Day, what a Mother's Day gift. The Lord told me, this is what he said, and I was up in prayer, and he said, revival is coming. And he said this, he said, church, what will your response be? I saw a revival come and push evil right off into the sea. This testing period is upon us right now. Will we embrace the call and the commission to go on despite what we see in the natural, or will we sit on our heels and wait? Will we sit on our heels and wait for the natural to catch up with what God is telling us he wants to do in our nation? Will we sit back and allow the enemy to take our nation, where we rise up and release the word of the Lord over the nation, fearlessly decree and declare the promises of God over this nation? When we speak the word of God over this nation and decree and declare the promises of God over our nation, do you know what that does in the spirit? When we repent for abortion, that cleans the land of the bloodletting that takes place of abortion. When we speak scriptures of truth and justice, when we bind up the tongue of the media, and we break off the deception from our youth, we pull back the veil of darkness and expose light to that darkness. We have that authority within us, church. It's time that we rise up and we not let the enemy, just like those line of witches that stopped the Reformation from crossing that border because the church didn't even know what to do with that. We do. God has been teaching us and instructing us. We do. We have the Holy Spirit. We have the instruction of the prophets. We have the understanding of the repentance and intercession to take this nation back. And when we speak the word of God over our nation, it courses out over our nation and it lines our nation with righteousness. It blankets our nation with the words of righteousness. That neutralizes, it overcomes, it defeats the plans and purposes of the enemy. It's time for us, the remnant, to rise up and take our place. There are people that are sitting back and waiting, my friends, waiting. Lord, just come get us. Just come get us. They're waiting for him to just come and rapture the church out of here. He is not coming back for a weak bride. He is not coming back for an apathetic church. Remember that. He is trying to strengthen us and grow us up in preparation to meet Him. And the revival that He has promised, oh my goodness, the revival. When I was in prayer, I saw this period between Passover and Pentecost, and I saw this period that God was releasing on our nation. And I began to see this as I spoke His word out over our nation, and I began to see it flow out. I began to see the Spirit of God flow out over our nation. I began to see the scriptures pour out over our nation. I was reminded of when Mom saw last year when we were speaking, when we were just declaring scripture, and she saw the rings of gold as they linked up together and they draped across our nation. I began to speak the word of God out, and I saw it blanket our nation. It was such a powerful thing. And then I saw the lion roar, and I saw him roar across the land and begin to break up the crusty film that's been built upon our land and the grief and the uncertainty of the hour. This is about the move of God that's coming forth. And He, with one roar, began to roar, and it shattered it, and it blew it out off of our nation. Friends, this is a year of revelation. And the Lord says, did I say it would be pretty? This is the exposure of the depths of corruption in the land. I'm removing communism, Marxism from this nation. These spirits are more than ideologies. They are principalities used to destroy nations. Look for the quaking of the land to begin and rejoice. The uprooting has begun. The uprooting has begun. This is where we are today. This season between Passover and Pentecost, God is saying, people, arise. Look to the mighty miracles that I've done. Look to the parting of the Red Sea. Look to the path that I set before my people. Look to my hand. Will you hold up the rod of God and not let Him go? When we did our messages, it's been over a month now, and the Lord told, and I released this, and I said that Biden was the rod of deception, but President Trump was the rod of God. And He said, will you hold up the rod of God? When Moses parted the Red Sea, He held up the rod of God. When they went to war with the Amalekites, He held up the rod of God. And as long as He held that rod up, they were winning. But as soon as His hands started to fall, because the Bible says His hands were heavy, they had to put a rock underneath them to hold them up. As long as that rod was held up, they were winning against the Amalekites. Friends, we must continue to hold the rod of God up, because we will surely see the salvation of the Lord come forth. He has promised it. He has spoken it to His prophets. Do not let anyone shake you from that post. The nation is shaking, and that is for sure. But it is loosening the corruption. It is loosening the deception. It is exposing it through and through. And we are about to see the salvation of the Lord. Hold fast to the word of the Lord. Hold fast. Revival is coming. We are going to see God's right the wrongs, but I'm telling you, revival is coming. And when it pours out across this nation, He is going to heal, save, and deliver our youth that we have been crying out for so desperately. He's going to save, heal, and deliver people that we thought were a lost cause. He's going to save, heal, and deliver this nation in an unprecedented way. This is going to be, we will look back at this and stand in awe. Well, actually, we're probably going to be on our faces in awe, but we will be in awe nonetheless. So, Father God, I just ignite the heart of everyone at the sound of my voice. I ignite in their heart faith to hold fast to the promises that you have given. Faith to hold fast to the word of the Lord for this nation. Faith to hold fast to the promise and the covenant that's been made about this nation to be an end-time refuge. Faith to hold on to your promises that we will push and thrust this nation, Lord God. We will be able to hold on while you thrust us into your timeline. Your timeline, oh God. I thank you, Father God, that you are accelerating things and you are giving us the grace to hold fast as you move us forward in you. Bless the people on this line, Lord God. Bless them for their faithfulness. In your precious name, amen.